Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the house of the Lord again. Well, welcome you to the Bible study this morning, and once again, we have so much in this book. And isn't it true that for myself, I know it's true that when I get into the Word of God, I realize how foolish I am to not read His Word, and it just shows us exactly where we are, and it shows us the need of our hearts when we just read in His Word. And so Ray's been going through Romans, and it's been a blessing. And so a few weeks ago we were talking about worship, and I want to continue with some of those things again this morning. So I didn't send any messages around, maybe I should have, so that you could think about these things. And be better prepared for what I have in mind to study. But as I was thinking about worship, I couldn't help but... we've been talking, I guess we alluded a couple weeks ago, and there was a scriptural verse that I was looking for that last Sunday that I taught up here. And it was a verse from Exodus 25, verse 8 in Exodus 25, and it talks about a sanctuary. And it says this, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." Let's pause for a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, our Father, which art in heaven, we just come to you. We worship at your feet. You alone are worthy. Lord, it humbles us to know that you took upon you the form of man and became of no reputation, and humbled yourself and became in the likeness of man, so that you would be able to redeem man and make man your tabernacle. You want to make us your sanctuary and dwell in us. And Father, we just realize again that before you can do that in us, there's certain steps that we need to take. And we thank you for that salvation. That is the beginning of all this. That ramp to the cross, that is where the burden rolls away. And now from that, you want fellowship with us. That is your desire, to have fellowship with your people. And I just ask for that to be so in each one of our hearts. Yes, we need salvation, each one of us. But yes, from now forward, we need fellowship. And that is how we live, by being in fellowship with you. And I just pray for a strengthening in that, in the body of Christ, in the saints, that the fellowship of God would be upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting how different things that you meet brothers along the way. And Thursday night, we were at CAM, and before we started sorting, a brother said something to me about I don't know how we started, but he talked about the tabernacle, I think it was, and the synagogue, and what was the difference. And then it kind of took me to that. And then from there, I went to the tabernacle. And I guess my own life, I had never really done an in-depth study on the tabernacle. And we talked about it a few weeks ago, just briefly. And so I went to this verse that I just read in Exodus 25, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And then from there I went back in the chapter. And of course it's talking about the Lord speaking unto Moses. And through all this, I want us to really think about that Christ wants to make you his tabernacle or his sanctuary. Because I don't want this study to be boring at all. Because it isn't. It's very very precious how the Lord establishes worship. It's so precious. And so let's go back. So from there I went back, if you have your Bibles, to Exodus 23, verse 30. And so how this is talking in verse 30, it says, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee. It's talking about the people going in to inherit the land. And he says, why? By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out from before thee, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. And the reason that he said this was, verse 29 explains why he wanted it to be little and little, is because I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. He wanted something to be replaced when the people were driving out the enemy or taking hold of the land. He needed it to be replaced with something good, right? So that it wouldn't be desolate and that it wouldn't be given over to the beasts. It says, beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out. So there's certain steps that had to be taken here in God establishing his people. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Thou shalt not dwell in thy land. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare. It shall be a snare unto thee. And he said unto Moses, this is Exodus 24, verse 1, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and remember, who are Nadab and Abihu? That caught my attention there. Someone, remember who? Aaron's sons, yes. But what happened to them later on? Nadab and Abihu. Someone? Pardon me? They were killed in the temple because they offered strange fire. Or the incense. And I guess what struck me so much is that God's commandments are so precise, and we need, there's, God has such a plan for his people in, so that we can truly worship him. And 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And so it talks about Moses going up to the mount. And here is what the people said when they heard this. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said will we do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient." And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." Then went Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." Some of this led me to search out some teachings on the tabernacle, and I must say that what I found was something that Zach Poonen had done in the year 2000 at a conference in Bangalore, India. And so some of these things that I say might reflect on what I read and some of those things as well, and some of the scriptures that he actually brings out in this here study. The Old Testament tabernacle was to be a sanctuary where God could dwell in the midst of Israel. It was also a picture of Jesus, who came in the flesh and tabernacled among men. And John 1:14 would speak of that. There are many things about the tabernacle that give us an understanding about God's dwelling with man, and also about the church, God's ultimate place, dwelling place. So all this has kind of a chain of events that I see, from the tabernacle and then the temple that was built and the synagogues where they taught the scriptures, taught the prophets, and on into the church, the bride of Christ, what we read about. God's heart was that there would be a church, a bride of Christ, a chaste and pure and spotless bride that would worship him, and that he could dwell with them and have fellowship. Now it talks about there was very, very important ways that they were supposed to build this exactly according to the pattern. God was very particular that every part of the tabernacle should be made exactly according to the pattern that he gave. Exodus 25, verse 9. The verse right after the one we read, verse 8, it says, "According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." And it goes on to say all these things of how they are supposed to make it. God gave Moses specific instructions about the sizes of the different parts of the tabernacle and the materials to be used for each. Many Christians do not realize the need to do everything in the church and in their lives exactly as the Lord has commanded in His Word. They allow their human understanding to decide how far to obey God and where to modify His commands. Moses had seen the construction of magnificent pyramids. We know Moses had seen the construction of magnificent pyramids in Egypt. And they sometimes marvel at how they built those huge, huge buildings. And if you look at how big those pyramids actually were, and with the wisdom of man, they built those things too. It boggles your mind when you think about it. We at school, or one of my boys had to build a pyramid, and I well remember how I thought, well, that's just an easy little building to make. But you start calculating the angles of the miters, and you think, well, I'll just make a cut here, and this will all fit together, and you know, it's pretty simple. But if you do the math on everything, you have, like, there's quite a bit of math involved in the way these things were built, so that they are perfect and square, and they come to a perfect point at the top. But why did I say that? God didn't want them to use their own wisdom to build this house, right? It was actually very, or this tabernacle. Moses had seen the construction of magnificent pyramids in Egypt, but he did not modify God's simple pattern of the tabernacle to make it more appealing to human eyes. In every detail, he constructed it exactly as the Lord had commanded him. That was why the glory of God filled it. If Moses had been given this pattern when he was 40 years old, perhaps he would have tried to improve on God's pattern with his Egyptian wisdom. The tabernacle may have looked better then, but the glory of God would have been absent. And Zach says this is what has happened in many churches. When man's wisdom goes beyond, or when man takes their wisdom beyond what God wants. God's thoughts and ways are far, far higher than our ways. Those who do not realize this will always add their human ideas to God's commandments. Only those who are eager for the glory of God to be manifested will be able to find God's perfect pattern and will for their lives. Our Lord Jesus lived His entire life on earth, fulfilling minute details of Old Testament prophecies that has been made concerning His birth, life, and death. He was careful at all times to fulfill everything that was written in the book concerning Him. And that leads me to Hebrews 10. If we could turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And here is where we could pass the mic around and people could take turns reading in Hebrews chapter 10. Maybe we could read from verse 1 to verse 10. Maybe start anywhere. Just pass the mic around.
Do you want us to read a few verses? Just read a few verses?
Sure, that would be fine too, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins.
But... But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of the bulls and of the goats should take away sins.
Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure."
Then said I, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." And when he said, "Sacrifice and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law."
Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all."
Thank you. So the first body of Christ. There are many things we can learn from the way that Jesus, the first body of Christ, lived on earth. And how he came, was obviously came with simplicity. He was born in a cow shed, and we all know that. The second body of Christ is to be the same. Those in the church today who tried to attract people through impressive buildings and music and programs, it can be dangerous. It's more important to have the truth. Is there any comments on anything thus far? Something that stands out? Did you have your hand up, Phil? No. All right, let's keep going. Those are precious verses in Hebrews. Year by year, continually, it would never make the comers perfect. But verse 10 says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all." And this is all building up to that, hundreds of years before. Back to Exodus, into chapter 25 again. God is telling Moses how to build this. And in verse 22 it says, "And there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." So at this time, Moses is up he went up into the midst of the cloud. In the last verse of chapter 24, Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Some of these things take a lot of time, and 40 days and 40 nights to be totally in the presence of the Lord. Thinking about one thing, and that is what God wants for the people. And there is Moses. He's hearing what God wants for his people. And so the next few chapters are talking a lot about the tabernacle in detail. And as we move along, verse 36 of chapter 28 was something that they had to... they were supposed to make something of pure gold. Actually, before we read that, I had to think about The people were to bring all these items, right? All these items of gold and silver and brass. And it talks about that there was more than enough. There was more than enough. And isn't that the truth? In God's kingdom, there is more than enough. But what was supposed to be engraved was the verse, it says in verse 36 of chapter 28, it says, "And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Thou shalt put it on blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be." If you have time, that could be some homework for this week if you'd like to read those. There's a lot of good things in there that it talks about. Okay. It was when Moses was alone with God on the mountain, fasting and praying for 40 days, that he saw the pattern for the tabernacle. And this is where sometimes I'm in too much of a hurry sometimes to actually wait on God. To wait on God for His direction. You know, to run ahead of God is that's a big problem. And we saw that then, as there was something happening on the mount. The fire was upon the mount. And we all know what happened there. God wants His people to worship Him. And it almost seems that the people kind of gave up. The people gave up because if we look at Exodus 31 and into 32, there's a verse I'm trying to find and I can't seem to lay my eye on it. And that's what's holding me up here. Some of these things run together, and I should have wrote it down, but I didn't. Anyway, okay, in chapter 31, we'll start maybe at the start of chapter 31. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." I'm sure we've all admired workmanship in our lives already. And these guys here were called out to do some. They were skilled workmen that were to do this work. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. See, the Lord gives these people wisdom that they can do these things. The tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table, and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the cloths of service, and the holy garments of Aaron, the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. That ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. God was wanting a people that would completely be sanctified and not put their thoughts and minds on anything else. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel, it says, forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And then here's where I was trying to find this verse here. It seems like something happened here. I don't know if it's obvious something happened here that maybe the people got impatient, or maybe they looked up and saw, as it were, something changed on the mountain and Moses didn't come down, right? And remember what we read, where the people said, all that the Lord says, we will do, right? Moses had said these things, and the people answered and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. Well, now, something happened. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. You know, you can pretty much imagine what's going through their mind. Moses is dead, he must have died in the mountain. And we all know the story of what they did. Their worship turned quickly to something that they thought about. They thought in their minds, in their human minds, they thought, well, this is what we're going to have to do now. And Aaron, he just kind of reacted and went along with the people, right? And isn't that the trouble we bring upon ourselves when we quickly do something just to please the people? God forbid that we would just quickly act on pleasing the people, but that we would... Can you imagine what would have happened if Aaron would have said, wait a minute here, let us fall on our faces before the Lord and pray and ask for direction from here. And then maybe that would have been all it would have taken, right? But God was working on Moses as well, and there's Moses. God didn't want him to delay, I don't think. I think God wanted him to come down so that the people could hear what God wanted for them. Because in verse 7 of chapter 32, it says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for the people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt hath corrupted themselves. And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them, and they have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, God is telling Moses, Leave me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. God is saying, this is this is this is an indication of how much God wants our fellowship. Because he says to Moses, that I may consume them, and then he says, I will make of thee a great nation. And I had to think, if I would have been in that position, and God is saying, leave me alone, I want to just destroy these people. But what does Moses say here? That just, it just boggles my mind when I think of this. Moses didn't say, okay, that's good. Let's go from here. I can be the next Abraham or whatever, right? God is destroying all that he said he would do for Abraham. If he would have killed all those people, isn't that true? That's what would have happened. If God would have destroyed all those people, and all that would have been left was, well, maybe there was all the heathen, the people that they were going to, but all the people of God, all the people of Israel, would have been destroyed. But Moses, Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord. And this, I want us to realize that how important prayer is in the next few verses. We should never ever believe the lie that your prayers, or that you can't, that it says the prayers of a righteous man avail much. Don't ever believe that lie that God will not help you, or that God won't, well, in this case, God did change what he was going to do. Unless he was really testing Moses, and he wasn't saying, you know. But I tend to believe that God was very angry at that disobedience. God is trying to get a people to worship him, right? God to fellowship with. Because he wants to do much more in the person of Jesus Christ later on. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why do you wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Moses had just spent 40 days and 40 nights with God, and he knew the heart of God enough that he could say these words, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. And then he says this, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And I had to think too that Moses, God told him that these people had made this graven image. But I wonder what Moses would have felt. Well, we know what Moses, when he went down, what did Moses do? You wonder how Moses felt, would have felt if he was still up on the mountain, right? But if he would have actually saw what the people were doing, he might have. When it's something about seeing the wickedness of the people, right? When Moses went down, he actually saw it with his own eyes, the wickedness of the people, and he broke the tables, right? But Moses had been 40 days and 40 nights with God, in communion with God, and so he didn't want all that God was telling him to go to naught, right? He didn't want all those wonderful things to go to nothing. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written, and the tables were the work of God, And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And there it kind of hit me between the eyes that singing, Alvin's nodding his head, maybe he has something to say. Singing, in this case, yes, the people were singing, but what were they singing about? They weren't singing to praise the Lord. And I guess that's what's been keeping me from going into singing and praise and music, is because it's been so impressed upon my heart that God wants a pure and holy people, and then we can worship Him. And there's many things in the New Testament. Actually, it's there's a verse where it talks about a brother. If a brother has something against another brother, talk in the. We can't expect to come and worship the Lord if there's something in our lives, and that we need to go and make it right with our brother before we can really worship or give our offering. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses, now it's Moses' turn to be very angry. Moses became very angry, just like God was angry. And he took the calf, and they made it, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder. And it goes on, talks about that, what they did with that, and anything that stood out to you in those scriptures? Something that you're itching to share? Something that spoke to you?
I found the intercession interesting from Moses. The intercession part there. And also the noise of war. Like, people were singing, obviously, but it wasn't a peaceful sound. If it was the noise of war, I don't think so. With the singing, I think it was an act of worship as well as we worship, but they were worshiping an idol. Mm-hmm. And they sang differently, I'm assuming, but regardless, the point is our object of worship, whether we worship God or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I found it interesting that the noise was that of war, because it would have been very disturbing in the heart of a believer. Mm-hmm. Or Joshua and Moses were with God, and
it wasn't
that
peaceful.
Noise of worship would have been a very contrary to their hearts, and would have been the sound of war.
Yes. Anyone else? Ian?
In today's day, we have a lot of teaching about grace and on and on. And reading through, if you just quickly read through that history, it's awe-inspiring how consuming God's holiness is, and how many rules and how perfect His tabernacle had to be so He could gather a people to Himself and not consume them with His wrath.
Hmm.
as some of them were, like the two sons of Aaron. And it's just hard to understand or grasp how great God's grace is in Jesus Christ, that through one sacrifice, we don't need a holiest of holies in a physical place, but we can meet God personally. And yeah, it's just amazing.
That is amazing. All right. Time goes quite fast. We'll have to see how the Lord leads and go from here. Thank you very much for listening and for your input. And if you've read all that many times and understand it, that's, for me, it was some of this was quite new. And if you have time this week, take time. I encourage you to take time. I should say that rather than if, because if it's an if we don't take time, then we're going to negate all the. If we don't take time to fellowship with God and offer to Him the sacrifice of ourselves, then we're missing the whole thing.